Hi everyone, this is Lauren Winans, and you're tuned in to Blitzburg Radio, presented by my favorite Steeler site, SteelerAddicts.com. Be sure and check out my latest single and website, LaurenWinans.com. And now, on with the show. Here are your hosts, Blitzburg Rock City and Steel Dad.
All right, everyone, welcome to Blitzburg Radio, presented by SteelerAddicts.com. My name is Matt, that's Mark. What's happening, man?
Well, it sounds like you survived Hurricane Sandy Cheeks over there on the east side of the country, so that's good. Glad your roof is still there and so on, but definitely nice to have a Steelers win this past weekend.
Yeah, that's Sandy, man. She was an epic pain in the ass, dude. Oh, my God. Our power flickered on and off, like, last night for I don't even know how many times. And the neighborhood where I live in, half of the neighborhood, probably three-quarters, had no power. But the block surrounding me where I was at had, like, intermittent power. So it wasn't too awful bad, but there was no water in the basement, nothing ridiculous. But now I have, like, 6 gallons of water and a bunch of other crap that I have no use for there now than to just use it over time. So
well, hey, you know, better to have had it than not. And like you say, you'll drink plenty of water, you know, so that's always good for us.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. We just got a ton of extra things. We didn't go hog wild or anything like most people do around here. At the first sign of a snowflake, people go crazy around here and buy up 400 gallons of milk and 500 loaves of bread, and there's nothing left. So we got just enough for us. Everything's all good. Today was a nice day. It's just really cold out. But, yeah, we survived it, so we're all good.
Well, that's good. Certainly, I know you would echo the same things, but I know we got a lot of people that are members of the website and listen to the show on the East Coast there, and chances are they might not have power, but we're still thinking about you over there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have friends in New York, friends in Connecticut, friends in Jersey. I was texting them last night off and on and just kind of getting some updates and whatnot. So, yeah, definitely New York and New Jersey were just massacred. So, you know, it'll take a while for them to clean up, but we know that they will survive and move on. And hopefully everybody there is as safe as possible. So let's get on to some football. Of course, you were right. As you said, the Steelers won. They are now 4-3. They are on the plus side of 500 finally now. Things are looking up. Of course, this past week, both the Bengals and Ravens had a bye, so it was a crucial game for them. Even if the Steelers were playing an NFC team and the Redskins, they had to get a win to gain some ground in the division, which was awesome. Of course, they pretty much dismantled anything that RG3 was able to do save for a couple of plays here and there in the one long drive. But overall, I think they handled the pistol offense pretty well. And I think the defense made a statement. Dwyer was awesome. So, yeah, there's lots to talk about, but it was definitely a good win.
Yeah, it was. I mean, number one, you got to defend the home turf, take care of the games at home. And certainly we've done that now, moving to 3-0 on the season at home. And Griffin's defense, I mean, he did have a lot of balls that were very catchable balls that were dropped, and including one there in the first quarter that – I think it was Leonard Hankerson should have had for a touchdown. So, you know, but the defense played well. You know, they kept plays in front of them. They didn't let RG3 do too much improvisation. I think that was the idea. And if you thought Woodley and Harrison were a little extra quiet in the stat book and during the telecast, I think some of that was by design. I think they really planned to keep those guys throttled down a little bit so as not to create natural lanes for RG3. So, yeah, heck yeah, man. We'll take that win, and hopefully we can start stacking a few of these babies.
No doubt about it. But the game coming up this weekend, whether it's on Sunday or it gets moved to Monday night, which nobody really knows for sure yet, against the Giants. The Giants are a whole nother level above what the Redskins are right now, so that game's going to be a whole lot tougher, but we can get to that later on if we have time, because right now we just want to talk about this Redskins game a little bit. Let's just start with the defense, since we kind of already got to that point. You mentioned that both Woodley and Harrison, they were quiet on the stat sheet for the most part. But you're right. I tweeted out before the game, I said something to the effect of that LeBeau cannot have any vanilla defense this week. And actually, for whatever reason, he actually was a bit vanilla this week, but it seemed to work. And I think with a guy like RG3, because he's such a threat to run, and, you know, you really don't have a whole lot of tape on him all that much yet. So, you know, there's still some things he can do that teams aren't used to. You know, with just basically the way that Shanahan has that offense catered around him, you know, to give him the best chance to succeed. So I think overall, you're right, the Steelers were more content to set back and kind of let, play good coverage, get some pressure, but don't leave any kind of gaping holes for him to start running through and making plays.
Yeah, and they worked it to a T. I think if they got, a little less vanilla anywhere, it was sometimes just in a couple of the disguised looks. And more often than not, they would usually drop back. I thought we played a lot more zone than I've seen us play in a while. And I think the biggest of those plays was the kind of the trick play where they tried to throw back to RG3. And Shanahan even said after the game that we were darn sure we were going to see that man-to-man and he would be wide open over there. And we were lucky. We were in a zone. And not only did he push off and get the penalty, but he took quite a pop from Ryan Clark, too. But the sacks are not there. I think you tweeted out something or the website did earlier today about, you know, we're on pace for a low in sacks we haven't seen since 1988. And, you know, I guess if we can continue to get away with that, okay. But now we're going into a totally different animal with Eli Manning, who's going to stay in the pocket and try to throw the ball. So, two very, very different quarterbacks 1 week to the next.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's interesting. I was looking at the stats here, and the top three tacklers for that game on Sunday against the Redskins were all secondary. Clark had 7, Will Allen had 7, and Ryan Mundy had 6. And then the next closest one was a linebacker, and that was Larry Foote. He had 6, then Harrison had 5, and, you know, on so on and so forth. The only sack this week did come from Larry Foote. Nobody else was able to bring down RG3. I mean, they flushed him out of the pocket here and there, but, you're right. It's going to be a different ball game because Manning is a pocket passer. He's not going to run very often. So if they're going to bring the heat next week, then, you might see some more sack totals, but, you know, that all depends on, how effective, both Woodley and Harrison can be because the Giants are no slouch and Manning is a master, just like Ben, of finding ways to make first down. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But I tell you, Ryan Clark had the concussion. Tomlin said in his presser today, I know you and I were kind of tweeting back and forth at the same time. I'm like, oh crap, he's saying the same thing I am. And I'm like, oh, the hell with it, whatever.
Yeah, it was fun. We bantered back and forth. You know, I mean, hey, listening to us tweet that press conference stuff has got to be more enjoyable than any of our buddies in the media there who are all matter of fact, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we definitely put a nice little spin on it. But yeah, Clark is going through all the concussion tests this week. He tweeted out, I want to say Sunday night or it might have been Monday night. I can't remember. But he says he's going to play next week. On Sunday or Monday against the Giants, but Tomlin was very noncommittal, and he said, you know, he has to go through all the battery of tests and this and that, so his status is up in the air, but if he doesn't, then of course Monday and Allen will, take the reins again, and the Steelers are very thin at safety as it is right now, so that's a concern because Clark right there, I mean, you don't have Troy. Troy's not coming back this week. He's already been listed out. I wouldn't expect him back until at least mid-November at the earliest. So I tell you about, dude, Will Allen is putting on a clinic on special teams and on defense. This guy's really playing very well. I mean, he may not be Troy Polamalu, but I don't even know if Troy is Troy anymore. But he's playing very well. And, when he's in there, the defense seems to, the secondary seems to play, very well together. So it's a good sign to see a veteran guy like that getting some reps and being successful.
You know, it was really interesting because I thought on Washington's opening drive after we had scored that he looked a little rough. He got burned a couple times. There was kind of that deep crossing route, I think, to the tight end that Griffin hit him on. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, uh-oh, this isn't looking good. They're getting too many guys open in those linebacker in front of the safety zone areas. And I'll tell you what, man, he made some adjustments, and certainly I'm sure Coach LeBeau made some adjustments as well. And I think we only saw that route maybe one more time the whole game where it was successful. But every other time it was pretty much shut down. And, you know, and Tomlin, in typical Tomlin speak, you know, he said he's pleased with his play, but it's not perfect, and it's exactly what I would expect most coaches to say. But, you know what, if it is him and Ryan Mundy, then I have huge concerns going up against Eli Manning. If Clark can go, and as of right now we think he will, but that's going to be a huge difference.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I tell you, it's typical Steelers defensive style. In the first couple of drives, maybe even the first quarter, they kind of got to feel their way, you know, around, see what the offense is doing. You know, it's not uncommon to see a team drive down and get a touchdown or a field goal. So, you know, I wasn't really concerned too much about it early in the game, and I was glad to see, you know, Will Allen, you know, kind of right the ship and get things going again. I think he's doing pretty well, and but you're right. Again, those two against Eli Manning just scares me, because Manning is such a precision passer, and you know, the Giants have some good receivers, so that's going to be interesting. It's a good test, but overall, I think the defense responded. They made some plays late. This is the second week in a row when we saw them really step up to the task and really you know, ensure that the Steelers would get a win, because you know, we haven't seen that at all this year up until these last 2 weeks. So it's nice to see them hopefully starting to get on a bit of a roll now, at least hopefully on the defensive side, and really be able to start making some noise and be able to close out games when they have to.
Well, yeah, you know, that was a big thing is that I thought the second half the offense got a little stagnant, almost complacent, and my thoughts there were, oh, geez, you know, the offense isn't doing much. Is this where the defense falls apart again, as we've seen in recent years in the fourth quarter? You know, but they held together, and they kind of did some things just more as a unit rather than individuals, and you know, got some passes batted down and knocked balls out of guys' hands, and just played real solid defense. And you know, and again, I think this is going to be a big week coming up for a lot of guys, because I really like the way that Keenan Lewis has played the last 2 weeks. And of course, the naysayers will say, well, who's he really had to guard the last 2 weeks in that number two receiver position? And he's going to find out this week, because the Giants are loaded at that position. They got guys that are physical and have good speed, too. But so far, so good, and I like the direction. And I think what LeBeau hopefully is recognizing, that this team just isn't getting to the passer the way we have, so he's starting to do some things different in the secondary, and hopefully that holds.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think it's nice to see them coming together. I think it's necessary, because you're right. You know, the offense kind of went into a bit of a lull there, especially in the fourth quarter. They started relying on the run a lot, but you know. And the defense, fortunately, was able to pick up the slack. I tell you, I like what Keenan Lewis is doing. I mean, he's a starting cornerback. Ike Taylor is always going to draw the team's number one receiver. So, you know, you can't fault the guy for who he's covering. I mean, he's doing his job. He's batting down balls. You know, he's helping out Taylor. He's helping out, you know, he's doing everything he's supposed to be doing, and he's playing very well. So I think the light bulb for him really came on late last year, maybe like mid-season on, and this year so far he's playing really well. So I have no complaints. I mean, he's going to get burned at some point. I'm sure Manny's going to burn him here and there, but overall he's the best choice at this point to play opposite Taylor. You know, speaking of Taylor, he's gonna, you know, he had another decent game. You know, so he seems to be getting his head on straight now, but although, you can still see LeBeau giving him some help, would be it with Mundy or with Lewis coming over, depending on, you know, what the situation is, or Allen helping him out. So, you know, there was somebody that said that, oh, you know, Ike Taylor's back, he's this and that. And I'm like, well, I'm not convinced he's back yet, because he had a good game, but he's been having a lot of help too. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, he has, and I think the help dissipated a little bit this week compared to last week in Cincinnati. But, you know, you could arguably say there was a play in the end zone where he kind of grabbed Santana Moss, and I think 3 weeks ago that probably gets called defensive holding or pass interference on him, but maybe luck's turning around for him, and he is. He's playing better. I don't think he's trying to guess as often. I think he's just reacting to his man and playing corner the way it's supposed to be as a Pittsburgh Steeler, being physical, keep guys in front of you, you know, don't give up the big play. So, you know, and he seems, just from listening to and reading some of the guys in the media, they say his whole demeanor has been a little bit better the last couple of weeks. So maybe that swagger's coming back.
Well, hopefully the swagger comes back and he gets it back, because they're going to need him. Because, of course, you know, as we said, the Giants have some really good receivers out there, especially Cruz, who's super fast and big. So it's going to be a big test, but you're right. He definitely seems to be turning the corner. And, you know, you have to think that LeBeau is going to have some creative schemes available to the secondary there to help. Because, you know, with all the weapons that Manning has and his ability to extend plays just like Ben has, you know, is able to do so. It's going to be pretty interesting overall. But I think the defense is definitely starting to turn the corner. I'm not ready to say they're back yet. I think I put a thread up about that today. But I think they're definitely on the right track. Offensive side of the ball. Just to go over some injuries this week, Dwyer did not practice, or he's not going to practice tomorrow. Tuesday's usually a player's day off anyway. So he's not going to practice tomorrow, but hopefully Thursday, Tomlin said. Gilbert's already out, so that means Mike Adams will get his third straight start. You know, we can expect to see a lot of Heath Miller or David Paulson over there helping him out, I'm sure. But I think Adams is starting to play, to look, you know, just really the light bulb's coming on just a little bit more each week for him.
It is. I actually took some time this evening and sat down and went through and watched, I would say maybe 60% of the snaps on offense and pretty much solely focused on him. And it, you know, it is. I mean, yes, they chipped again with Heath a little bit, but it was certainly less than it was last week. Really the only area that I see him still with a long, long way to go. And I noticed it down around the goal line on both the TD pass to Leonard Pope and the TD pass to Will Johnson. He does not get off the ball well at all in those short yarded situations. And he got shoved back on both of those plays, a good yard and a half, 2 yards into the backfield. I think once by Ryan Kerrigan, and I'm not sure if it was him on the other time too. But, you know, that's where those feet have to come in. He's got to get his feet moving, and I'm sure he knows that, and I'm sure Coach Kugler's all over him about that. But, yeah, it really has been night and day for him in a lot of ways. And, you know, I really enjoyed the play that Haley called for Rainey on that direct snap.
Yeah.
the whole line did a really nice job of getting out. Pouncey got on and locked on a guy. Even Adams got around the corner and got his mitts on somebody. So, you know, I think the whole line is really coming together. And you know, when Gilbert does return, I mean, boy, the depth on the line suddenly kind of goes from real fair or average to pretty darn good.
So do you keep Adams in there when Gilbert comes back, or do you bench Adams and put Gilbert back in?
Boy, I think it's all going to depend on where he is and I hate to keep talking ahead, but man alive, if he holds his own this week against arguably the best front four down linemen in pro football, then I think it's going to be awfully hard to pull him out. You know, because let's face it, Gilbert's not going to come back 100%, I wouldn't think. He's got a pretty severe strain of some sort in the leg, so... As of right now, let's see where we are next week. I mean, today I say, well, no, put Gilbert back in there. But let's see where we are after we play the Giants.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's interesting because the Steelers have really three tackles on the roster in Adams, Gilbert, and Starks, and all of them want, you know, play the left side. I mean, they are, at least they all want to play the left side. So next year is going to be pretty interesting, you know, because you got to figure, you know, maybe Max Starks doesn't come back next year. I don't know yet. But then you've got Gilbert, who wants to play on the left side, and then you've got Adams, who said he prefers the left. So maybe, you know, it's going to create some interesting things, you know, just for next season, looking ahead for a second. But I tell you, you're right. This year, I think the offensive line, the last couple of games, starting to come together. I think Cologne is really knocking down on the holding penalties. Getting Pouncey back was just monster. It's absolutely huge. You know, you didn't hear a whole lot from Ramon Foster, which is nice because that means, you know, right. he's not getting any penalties. Everything's good. And Starks is his normal, reliable self. So this group that's in there right now, and then maybe either Gilbert or Adams, whichever one you want, I think has the potential to be really, really good if they can just keep playing together. And, you know, so far they've been able to do that for the most part the last few weeks, and they're really starting to really start to gel. You can see the confidence, especially in the run game. You know, Ben was not sacked at all last week, which was very, very nice against the Redskins. So,
And just real quick, I mean, there's another situation here brewing, and that's DeCastro, who is now, according to Tomlin, he's doing a lot of individual work, and it's very possible that he's going to come off of that, should I call it the short-term IR list, you know, and at that point, what do you do? Because you got to have a roster spot if you're going to activate him. So, like I said, that line potentially goes from very fair to pretty darn solid pretty fast.
Well, yeah, and you're right. But I tell you, if I'm the Steelers right now, you know, as much as you want to play DeCastro, mm-hmm. I cannot justify putting him in there. And, you know, let's say that he's ready to go in the first week in December, and oh my God, he's running around and everything's hunky-dory. I can't justify putting him in there in December after Foster has carried the load all year long, and the guy has barely played any preseason at all. I mean, do you want a rookie in there in December when you're trying to make the playoffs a right guard? I don't.
Well, no, you're right, and I don't disagree with you. I think you got to go, you know, you go with who brung you, as they say. And I just think it puts a very interesting spin on what they could do in terms of the personnel, because, you know, hey, in a perfect world, we suddenly run off a bunch of wins, Baltimore goes in the tank, we get a little bit of a lead in the division, and now you can start playing with Dave DeCastro a little bit in the second half of games or something as you wind down. But no, I agree with you. I think you got to go with Ramon Foster. He's an absolute mauler in the run game. He's struggled at times in the past game, but he's been much better recently. So I think you just keep it the way it is for right now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, when he does come back, I mean, you know, you're right, they will have to let somebody go, you know, depending on how that works out. I don't know yet. You know, one guy who is in trouble, just jump back on defense right now, is Te'amu. Man, Tomlin is not happy with that kid at all. He was talking on his press conference, and two reporters that I remember pushed him about the status of Te'amu, and he basically said, look, the guy's got in-house problems, he's got league problems, and he's got, you know, problems with the law. So, I mean, you know, this guy is not going to be playing anytime soon right now. And, you know, it would not surprise me if they just cut ties and be like, look, dude, you're just too much of a hassle right now to deal with and let him go. I mean, I don't know if they're going to do that. I'm not saying they are, but they do have to find a roster spot for him. And one guy that they might let go is Van Dyke. You know, who was benched this past week for all the special teams holding penalties that you know, were killing returns. So, you know, maybe Tomlin wants to send a message, you know, but I don't know what kind of message are you sending if you cut a guy who's trying to play hard to keep mm-hmm. a guy who, you know, was, you know, almost killed police officers. I don't know.
It is. It's a delicate dance right there. And I let's face it, if Te'amu was a sixth or seventh round pick,
he'd be gone.
I think this is a situation where, you know, they have the added advantage that Casey Hampton is playing pretty well. I still don't understand why Steve McClendon doesn't get more snaps, but that's for a whole other situation. But I still think this kid has some potential. And let's not forget, there have been plenty of other players on the Pittsburgh Steelers who have made mistakes and have come back to become pretty darn good ball players. And, you know, he's young, he's dumb, he's going to make mistakes, a lot of these guys will, and, you know, like you said, it's very obvious that Tomlin is not thrilled with him, and I think I sense that there was some laziness from him in camp that they didn't expect, and, you know, I think it's one of those things where maybe Casey Hampton just takes this kid aside and says, look, this is your life, and what you do with it over the next few months is going to dictate the rest of it, so, you know, shape up or ship out, man.
Yeah, you're right, and I like the potential of him because he's just so huge and he's so naturally strong, but he's got a long way to go, and you're right. I mean, I don't know what Tomlin's going to decide yet to do with him, and, you know, or who they will do, what they would necessarily have to remove to keep him on, but you're right. I mean, I think he still has the potential to be good, and maybe this was a wake-up call for him. I don't know. He hopefully learns from it. We'll have to see. You know, not to dwell on too much. I mean, the guy was a fourth-round pick. You know, he stunk in training camp. He wasn't good in preseason. You know, he had to run with the law, so we'll have to see what happens with it. As far as the offense goes, Mike Wallace bounced back with a nice game. Heath Miller, just money as always. I mean, the guy is having a Pro Bowl season. If he doesn't make the Pro Bowl this year, he's never going to. He's just absolutely on the money, loving everything that Ben is doing. I think he hit 9 receivers this past week. I think it was 9 different ones.
It's, I got it right in front of me here. One, two, three, four, five, six, yeah, nine, maybe even 10 guys here, which has pretty much been his staple this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a credit to Haley as much as it is Big Ben. But, you know, it was nice to see Wallace bounce back. You know, this is a contract year for him, so you hope he can keep it up. But, man, Antonio Brown, dude, what is wrong with this kid? I mean, I love him to death. I mean, the guy is – he's lightning in a bottle. He's amazing. He's got so much energy. He's such a talent. He's a playmaker. But, man, I mean, you just got to knock off all the dumb crap, man. I mean, you really do. And I find it hard to fault him because he's such a difference maker for this team. And I know he's young and excited, and I get it. But, man, I mean, you just can't have that, you know, backpedaling, you know, Deion Sanders crap going into the end zone in Pittsburgh. Man, it just doesn't fly.
Well, I thought Tomlin put it really well today. And it's something that I think more of us as fans and bloggers and writers and all this other stuff should consider at times. You know, he said, I'm around this kid every day. And I see what he's about, and I see how hard he works and how much the game means to him and stuff. And he kind of made the point that, in a way, that almost irritated him more. Because he does see the work that he puts in, for him to kind of lower himself to that level, to a level that the Pittsburgh Steelers have never been about, where it's about me before the team. And I know I had conversations with some fans on Twitter and certainly in the game day forum about it, you know, well, what's wrong with what he did? He's just having fun. Well, you know what? There's a difference between having fun and taunting the opponent and showing up the opponent, which is exactly what he did. And I think Tomlin ultimately used the term it was not respectable, and it was not. And, you know, he's just too damn good of a player to do that. I can handle the first down thing when he makes one. I can handle that. I can handle it if he's got a little cha-cha he's doing in the end zone. That's fine. But don't show up the other player, because you're just asking for trouble once you do that.
Yeah, you're right. And, I mean, you know, other teams that have had players that do this kind of stuff, they get used to it. And, you know, they tolerate it more in other organizations. But, you know, the Steelers, I mean, they are, you know, grassroots, you know, blue collar, you know, we don't disrespect the other team. You know, we do what we do, and then we get off the field. And, you know, it just, the guy's excited, and maybe he just loses control a little bit. I don't freaking know, dude. But if one of those dances or something like that costs us a touchdown and ultimately loses us a game, it's going to go ballistic, because, you know, you're right. I can live with the cha-cha and the whole, you know, drop the ball on the first down and all this and that. That's cool, because the guy's such a huge playmaker. But, man, you just got to get your head out of your ass.
Yeah, I mean, there was just no reason, you know. And even somebody said, well, what about when he, you know, cartwheels or flips into the end zone? Again, I'm not a fan of that, but at least it's not ripping or in any way disrespecting the other team. He is just having fun, and I think the NFL, you know, the no-fun league, I would love if we went back to the days of ironically, the old Skins, where the fun bunch, you know, you get together and you celebrate the touchdown and it's a unit or a team, and they've taken that part of it away. So, unfortunately, I think these guys have kind of gone to a more individualistic type of deal. And he got caught up in it. You know, and I'm old school. My theory is, hey, you get in the end zone, you drop the ball, you give it to the official, you go celebrate with your teammates. You know, if you want to do a spike, that's fine. But just, you know, none of this taunting the opponent crap. I mean, come on. Let's be big boys here.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to take some kind of, you know, traumatic, you know, penalty with that to really maybe make the light bulb go on with him. I don't know, but either way, sooner or later he's going to learn, and I hope it just doesn't cost us a game or something worse like in the playoffs. As far as the running game goes, Redmond, I believe, is doubtful for this week. Mendenhall is working out a little bit, if I'm remembering what Tomlin said correctly. But, man, assuming Dwyer is healthy, which, you know, if he practices on Thursday, hopefully he will be, I just cannot justify taking this guy off the field, even for Mendenhall or anybody else right now.
No, I can't either. I think Dejan Kovacic put it well this week in his article, and I know several other people did, that, you know, once, okay, this guy runs for 100 yards in a spot start, okay, that's fine. That was last season, and then he does it again this year, and then he does it in back-to-back games. Okay, the kid obviously has some talent, and you know, Mendy offers some wonderful things, but Dwyer has done absolutely nothing to be pulled from the starting job right now. And I think the key thing here is that, you know, you got to look at it as a positive, because I know if I'm a defensive coordinator, I do not like the thought of having to prep for this kid, but then at the same time, worry about Rashard Mendenhall, both out of the backfield as a receiver, but also on some running plays where he can get through the line quickly, because certainly his speed is a little bit better than Dwyer's. So, you know, hopefully these guys can be adults about it and understand that Dwyer's the hot hand right now and go with it. But there's absolutely no reason that he should not be the starter come Sunday, barring injury, of course.
Yeah, and I tell you, I think this is something to where it comes down to. If this were, you know, back in the Bill Cowher years, it used to drive me bananas because he would go with a veteran above all costs, no matter what. And if you were hurt and you came back, you know, your job was waiting there for you. And in today's NFL, you just can't do that anymore. I mean, this is a what have you done for me lately league. Mm-hmm. Dwyer's the hot hand. You run him until he proves he can't do it anymore. That's why you've got backups. That's why you've got Redmond and Mendenhall there. Use them both. Use them all. But don't pull Dwyer and put him back on the bench on the inactive list, because he's making too many plays right now. You know, he had 100 yards this week, 100 last week. He's moving the chains. He's helping you to keep the clock going in the second half, you know, especially with the Steelers wanting to kind of sit on the ball again, you know, to run out the drive. So if you're going to do that and he's able to pull the load, then you absolutely must keep him in. So, yeah, I'm all for if Redmond comes back, that's fine. But I am all for Dwyer at least being the number two guy behind Mendenhall, at least.
It's going to be interesting because, you know, much like we talked with the offensive line, you know, the running backs, you know, Baron Batch, you know, he had a very nice catch for a first down Sunday. But as far as running the ball, he really hasn't shown much. I don't know that he's had anything more than a 4 or 5 yard carry yet this season. And certainly Rainey is a guy you have to continue to get some touches to. I mean, he had such a little bit of area on that direct snap play and nearly scored on it. So, you know, I don't know who the odd guy out is going to be ultimately when they're all healthy, but, you know, you just can't take touches away from Dwyer in the running game right now.
Yeah, hopefully Tomlin listens to us. I mean, I'm sure he plays our podcast every week religiously. So, Mike, if you're listening, please play Jonathan Dwyer. Thank you very much. That's all.
I'm sure he's probably listening to it immediately before he goes into the press conference. You know, make sure he's got all of his notes, I'm sure.
Of course. Yeah, I wish. I tell you, just real quick here, since we're starting to run out of time. Ben Roethlisberger having just a phenomenal year. Thank you, Todd Haley, for this amazing offense, which I am all for everything he's doing for the most part. Ben, 24-33, 222 yards, another 3 touchdowns. I think he only has 3 interceptions on the whole year, if I'm not mistaken, so far. I think his touchdown to pick ratio is 14-3, I believe.
Correct. Correct.
So yeah, just absolutely phenomenal. The guy, you know, the good running game with Dwyer, the better blocking with the line, you know, the receivers overall making plays, and just the ability to spread the ball around is just really helping him keep his jersey clean and just move the ball and eat the clock and, you know, convert third downs when you have to. But you can't say enough. If Ben is not a top 5 quarterback in this league right now, then I don't know who is. I mean, you can maybe even argue a top 3, but definitely top 5.
No, he's playing exceptionally well. I think the offense is absolutely suiting him to a T. He's getting rid of the ball quickly by design. I would have to think that Haley and Sean Coogler, the offensive line coach, they must be working very well together, because this is arguably the best that the offensive line has looked in quite a while. And you know, those guys they're like any other lineman. When you can start going downhill on the running game, punishing the opponent, I mean, there's nothing better. I mean, linemen traditionally, they want to run block. They want to pound you rather than have to stand up in a pass block position and kind of let you come to them. So I think there's a great rapport going on there right now, and Roethlisberger is just feeding off of it. And, man, I'm telling you what, if this continues, you know, he might not end up with the stats of a Brady per se, but man, he's going to be right in the conversation for the MVP if those stats continue and this team gets into playoffs.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. I love the way he plays. He doesn't let himself get rattled very often. He's always under control. You know, he's just even in this new offense, you know, there's times when he has to extend the play and he's able to do that. He's finding ways to avoid the big hit. You know, and actually get rid of the ball when he has to. So I'm loving how it's going. I think Haley's offense and the guys that are playing that offense now are starting to click just a little bit more each week. And I think if they keep going on this pace, by the time late November, December hits, these guys could just be wicked tough to try and defend. But yeah, just to kind of wrap things up, you know, as we mentioned, the game as of right now, the NFL says will be on Sunday afternoon. But again, who knows, with how, you know, things are there in New York, and we know what may happen. It could get moved to Monday night, although in that case I don't know how much good it's going to do for one extra day. I don't know, but in any event, it's going to be a super tough game. This is another must win, because right now you don't want to go in even against the Super Bowl champs. You know, if you lose to Giants, nobody's really going to bark at you all that much, because they're really just that good. But I think if you want to keep this momentum going and keep this, you know, get yourself, you know, stringing some wins together, the last thing you want to do is go out there and, you know, and lose a game even to an NFC team, and even if it is the defending champs.
This is a huge statement game. Knowing that they're going to come home, and I believe the next game is a Monday nighter against Kansas City, who is arguably the worst team in the league right now. I mean, this is a big game, because this can simply put a stamp on the fact that, okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers that were thought to be dead in the water are back and doing well. And certainly, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a huge challenge there in New York with you know, they have a good crowd, and their defense is very solid. We know what Manning can do. They have good running backs. So going to be very, very interesting. And real quick, before you wrap it up, I want to give a quick shout-out here to Aaron, who runs Ben Roethlisberger's personal website. I want to say it's BigBen7.com. I had a chance to chat with her last week and just learned some amazing things, not only about how she kind of just fell into it, and how she has had the opportunity to meet him, and just learned some things I really can't share on the radio, but just shout out to her for sharing that stuff, because it was just really, really awesome to hear some of that stuff. So thank you. Her.
Is she runs Twitter too, right? Because I know, yeah, I say, because I know it's not Ben tweeting that stuff.
No, he has absolutely nothing to do with it, and I think I can share this part of it. She had created her own website for him, and just kind of for the heck of it, and she was approached by Ben and his agent about kind of throwing everything she had into a more official webpage, if you will. And they have just been, she said they've been fabulous to her. They treat her like family. And she, you know, it's a labor of love, and she puts a tremendous amount of time into it. And, you know, if you get a chance, go visit the website, check out her tweets. I'm not sure what the tweet is or the Twitter handle. It's, @BigBen_7, I think. But you know, just a neat experience for the average fan. I mean, you and I get to do this, and occasionally, you know, we get to talk to a player here and there, or a journalist, and it's fantastic. But she's kind of living the ultimate dream, getting to deal with one of the superstars in the NFL.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's it's really cool to see, because, you know, as we know, Ben tries to stay out of the social media, so he's not going to be doing that stuff. But it's great to see, you know, him be able to take advantage of somebody who has put so much work into a site and, you know, make it a labor of love and really kind of, you know, reward her and help her take it to the next level. So, yeah, it's definitely an awesome story. I follow her on Twitter. You know, it's always good stuff. They put up some nice pictures, some charity information, stats on Ben and the Steelers, all kinds of good stuff there. So you definitely want to check it out, you know, give her a follow on Twitter. But I think with that, you know, as you said, as far as the Giants game goes, I think this is definitely a statement game. If the Steelers win this game, I don't care if it's by 1 point or 30 points, I'll be ready to say that Pittsburgh is back and thoroughly ready to make some type of run late in the year, regardless of what their record, you know, is with the rest of the division coming up. Because, you know, if you can beat the Giants on the road, you are doing something right. You really are.
No, well said. I don't know that there's any other way you could say it. They're playing well. I believe they've won four straight. They looked a little shaky in the second half against Dallas, but managed to get out of Jerry World down there with a victory. And they're well coached. Coughlin and his crew do a great, great job of preparing, and our guys are going to have to be on top of their game on the sidelines as well. So it's going to be exciting, I can tell you that. I think both times that Ben and Eli have hooked up, the games have gone down to final possessions. So should be a good one.
Absolutely, right on. We are looking forward to it. With that, we will wrap it up. Thanks for listening to Blitzburg Radio, presented by SteelerAddicts.com.